You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
So this morning, I get to teach on spiritual servanthood. And this is a special burden of mine. I'm grateful that I get an opportunity to do this. As I was reflecting back about why this is such a burden in my life, I think one of the reasons was my upbringing, just looking at the circumstances in my life. I was raised by a single mom. I was the oldest of five kids, and my mom had a lot of health issues. And I remember one summer, she was bedridden, and this was when my sister and I are just 6 months apart. You might wonder how this happens, but I was adopted. She wasn't. So a lot of responsibilities fell on us. We were responsible for helping with doing the cooking, the cleaning, the laundry. And so we had to do a lot of stuff, and we were elementary age kids. And that can be surprising, I think, a lot of times for people to hear, but we were able to do it. I mean, she walked us through step by step how to do everything, but we were doing those things. And I think what I learned from that experience is that kids can do a lot more than we think they can. And that, you know, that it's something that gives, you know, you think about like Little House on the Prairie days and how they had all these responsibilities to do even before they went to school, you know. And so kids know how to work hard and they can work hard. And so I think sometimes we don't always give them that opportunity. So that's one of the reasons why I'm extra burdened about servanthood. Another reason is, so I've been working for our church since like 1987. And one of the things that's really cool about working for our church that I've been able to do is I do a lot of projects. And I remember one of my first jobs was right when we were looking into South Linden and trying to get a school there. And so one of the very first houses we bought down there, we had to rehab it. And that took a lot of volunteers to coordinate and to make that happen. And it's been really cool over the years. I mean, I haven't worked constantly for our church because I stopped to have babies for a little bit. But, you know, I was able to work with so many great volunteers, so many great servants, and just to learn from them. And so that's an extra burden for mine is just servanthood. And then lastly, I think that God has gifted me with service. I enjoy serving. It's something that I feel like God has given me. And it's cool to see how God gives us these gifts for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. And so hopefully this morning, you guys can be able to hear some things that might be helpful for you to be able to apply to your families. So here's my family. This is back on our summer trip last summer. We went up to Canada, and I think it's like right outside Whistler. We did this big hike. We like to hike, so about kicked our butts, but, well, Gus and mine, but it was a beautiful view, and it was well worth it. But this, I have a son, Sam. He's 27. Sydney, who's 24, and Sophie's my youngest at 21, so it's really cool to see that they're all involved in the college ministry. Well, when we think about servanthood, the foundation is we have to look at what Christ's example is. And just to be reminded in Philippians 2:5-8, Paul says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." And so it's interesting how Christ is regarded as a bondservant and how he was willing to give up his rights. He's willing to give up his comfort. He's willing to give up, you know, his close community with his father to be able to sacrifice for us so that we could be able to have that personal relationship with him. And just, this is the example that we always have to go back to and why we are called to be servants and how to raise our kids to be servants. You know, the New Testament is full of verses about the whole idea of servanthood and serving. I like Mark 10:45, where he says, "The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve." And in 1 Peter 2:16, Peter says, do not use your freedom for self. Instead, use it to serve one another. You know, we have complete freedom to do whatever we want with our lives. And yet Peter's challenging us to not use it for our own self-pleasures, but to use it to serve one another. And later on, Peter says, you know, each of you have been given a gift by God. Use that to help build up the body of Christ. In Acts 20, you know, it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And in Hebrews 13:16, we're reminded about not neglecting and sharing and doing good. And so this is found out throughout the Bible, the importance of serving, the importance of sharing and giving to others, and really being able to help. And so I think this is really important when we think about the whole idea of servanthood, and sometimes it's easy to lose perspective of that in this culture. Again, we have to always go back to the reason why we're doing this is because of God's grace in our life. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, the basis of our action should be for the glory of God. And in Matthew 6:1, he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. And I think it's so easy, I think, sometimes for us to do things and we want to be acknowledged that what we're doing is good. I mean, I think all of us have felt one time or another that nobody is aware of the things I do, you know, all these sacrifices I make, especially as parents, you know, our kids don't come up to us each day and say, Mom, I really appreciate all the work that you did and putting my lunch together and my dinner and making food for me. You know, they don't say that, or doing my laundry. And so we have to realize that our basis for serving, whether it's inside our home or outside of our home, comes from we're doing this because of response for what God has done for us. And in Colossians 3:17, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all for the name of the Lord Jesus. So I think when we think about this whole idea of servanthood, we're trying to teach our kids that this is not just, we're trying to deal with their behaviors. Okay, you need to serve here in this situation. You need to do this. And you need to help out in this situation. But we're trying to help develop a lifestyle of servanthood. And when we think about lifestyle, how that reveals our attitudes and our motivation for why we do what we do. And so just really thinking about how we have to develop this and be able to show this to our kids. I think the principles are, going back to servanthood, I think one of the things is just that it's very countercultural. You know, our culture is all about being number one, being the top of the class, being, you know, first chair, being the captain, you know, making sure your kids are the best. And this is something that's really hard to fight against. I know just even, you know, in our own hearts, it's counterintuitive for us a lot of times. You know, we, of course, we want the best for our kids. We want our kids to be, you know, get the top of the class, be able to score high, and to get the top, you know, seats or get the positions. I remember I got a call from my son when he was in sixth grade, and he called me. He's like, hey, Mom, can you pick me up later from class or later from school today? Because I'm going to be helping out with the sixth grade play. And I was like, so excited. Like, wow, you're going to be playing a part in the sixth grade play. And he's like, Mom, I'm just going to help with sound and lights. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, so I'm like, yeah, I'll pick you up. And so the play that they were doing was The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. So I go to Calumet. I go up to the gymnasium where they're all the kids are. I'm looking for Sam. And then I see that he's on stage. And I was like, oh, he's on stage. And then he's like, oh, he's reading for a part. And I was like, oh my gosh, Sam's reading for a part. You know, I'm so excited about that. And so I'm looking at what part he's reading for, and I get really confused. And then I'm like, not sure about what's going on here. And so I go to my friend Heather, and I was like, Heather, look it, they have Sam reading for a part, but I can't believe they have typecasted him like that. And she's like, what are you talking about, Sherry? I was like, they have him reading the Asian part. And she goes, Sherry, that is not Asian, that's Aslan. So it wasn't, in actuality, he wasn't really reading for a part to be a part of the play, that part, but it was just filling in so other people could do their practicing. So it was just really funny. But, you know, like, we want our kids to have the starring role. We want them to, you know, that's something we have to fight in our own heart. And so, you know, I think a lot of times when we think about this, what fears are driving us, it's really important to think about, you know, why is that so important for us to have our kids to be the best, or to have our kids to, you know, want them to score high and be the top of the class. And the things that I've had to deal with in thinking about what fears drive that is, like, I have a fear that I don't want my kids to be left behind, or I have a fear that this might be a bad reflection on me as a parent. Like, you know, if my kids aren't the top of the class, what does that say about me? And it's so easy, I think, to look to our kids to give us, affirm us as a person, instead of getting our identity from the Lord and realizing that's secure and being able to be secure in who they are, and that even if they aren't the captain or the top of the class or, you know, the number one, that they are significant with God and that God views them significantly. We can't get a grade on that. And I think this is really important too, because how we have to realize that we want to teach our kids that their significance doesn't come from accomplishing all these things, getting the top grades, getting the top of the class, but it comes from really being able to love and serve other people. And I was thinking back when Sam had he had just transferred for his freshman year into high school at Worthington, and we had a parent-teacher conference, and Sam had transferred with two other of his classmates from Calumet, and the teacher had said, "Oh, we love having the kids from Calumet." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And he's like, "Yeah." At first, I was concerned about, like, are they going to be academically as strong as the kids from Worthington? But he's like, "Oh, yeah, they're fine academically." He goes, "But the thing that I've noticed about your kids from Calumet is that they really care and they help each other out." And I thought that was such a powerful witness to, you know, the outside community about how to be able to help our kids really see that they have something significant to offer. When we think about bondservant, you know, here we see that it was Christ regards himself as a bondservant. You look at how the apostles identify themselves, like Paul and Timothy and Philippians call themselves bondservants of Christ. Peter and John regard themselves as bondservants in Acts. And, you know, it'd be really easy for Peter to say, "Yeah, I'm one of the senior pastors of the Acts church. I was helped start that," you know. And yet that's not how he identifies himself. Or John saying, "Yeah, I was Jesus's favorite disciple," you know, and that's not how he identifies himself. They identify themselves as bondservants for the Lord. And in Revelation, you know, believers are called to be bondservants. And I think this is really challenging for us because, you know, bondservant isn't as appealing as being the leader or being a key worker or being, you know, and yet that is really the attitude that we are called to have as followers of Christ. You know, a bondservant is defined as a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're absolutely sold out to his will. They're willing to do whatever he tells them to do. They're willing to say whatever he tells them to say. "I'm willing to go wherever he leads me. I am a man who has made a choice. I'm going to serve him for all eternity." That is what a bondservant is. And this is what we're called to be as followers of Christ, that we are following Christ. And this is something that I can't say I've fully arrived to yet. And yet I'm trying to, this is the kind of life that I want to try to be leading. And so it really is countercultural and counterintuitive. And so when we think about just some principles about how to help our kids develop this attitude of servanthood, I think the first thing is that we need to own this for ourselves. As a family, you know, it's important that you get your spouse involved in this and to say that this is what we want for our family. If you're fortunate enough to have a spouse, it's really important that you both are unified about this, that you've decided that we want to have an attitude, a lifestyle of serving others. And I love what Joshua says in Joshua 24. He says, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had firm convictions that he was going to serve the Lord, but not only did that affect him, that he wanted it to affect his whole household. And he saw the influence that he had on his household. And he's like, we are committed to serving God as a family and individually. And so we need to first decide, do we really want to have this? Because our kids, they're going to hear what we say, but what's more influential to them is seeing how we live our lives. You know, we can't just say, yeah, it's important to serve and not have that kind of lifestyle ourselves. We need to demonstrate to them what that looks like. We need to be able to model that to them. And so, and to teach our kids how, what this looks like. You know, we can't just magically, they're not just going to turn 18 and all of a sudden they're servants of the Lord. You know, we have to start this at a young age and helping them have that mindset of what does it look like to help out? What does it look like to serve one another? And so this is something, you know, kids, when they're young, they love helping out, right? They want to help out and do everything. And yet we need to help facilitate that and to really encourage that, to see that they have a vital role in this family, that they can really be able to, we can work together and to be able to serve. And so I think, you know, when they're younger, we have to give them a lot more direction. What does it look like to go into Oasis class and be a, you know, a good friend, you know? But what if they're shy? I'm too shy. I don't want to talk to anyone. You know what? I bet there's other kids there that are shy. You know, to be able to help, you know, help them through that process of like how to be a good friend, you know, whether it's, you know, when daddy comes home, let's make sure we greet him at the door and to acknowledge that we, you know, missed him. We appreciate his hard work, you know, just like it takes a lot more direction. And so when they're little, we want to also not just tell them what to do, but we need to make sure we're explaining why we're doing what we're doing, that we are so grateful for how much he works for us, or we're so grateful for we get to show God's love to other people because God has shown us love, you know, and just think about simple ways to tell them why we're doing what we're doing. And then we also have to tell them about how, you know, sometimes it is hard to do that. You know, I remember when we had playgroup at our house, and sometimes there were certain kids that were rougher than others, and how, you know, God puts people in our lives that are difficult for us to love. And so we need to pray about how can we love this person that God's bringing into our life. And so, you know, just helping them see that, you know, they're not just going to always want to serve. It's hard. We have to teach them how to, the motives for doing and how to persevere when it's not fun anymore. Service, you know, there can be times where it can get hard and we feel like giving up, but what does it look like to stay in there and persevere and to be a good friend and to help? You're trying to help them think about getting outside of themselves, to think about other people, how they can be able to help others, and just like that they have something to, they can be a good friend to others. And it is a whole process when in the beginning of just like thinking about, you know, preparing them for whatever situation you're going into. How can we be a good friend here? How can we serve? And then, you know, talk about it. How did it go? How was school today? How were you a good friend? And then to debrief with them, to be able to, you know, share like, that's really cool how God used you here. Or, you know, maybe next time you can do this or, you know, and so you're trying to help coach them through what does it look like to serve and to love and the people that God has put in their life. And I think, you know, just to realize that it is a process and that, you know, what you're trying to do here is you're trying to teach them how to serve in the family so that they can be able to go outside and serve outside the family and in, outside of the community too. And so this is really important that, you know, as we think about service, it's not just something that, you know, we have isolated to certain times, but that we do this on a regular basis. Lastly, I think we need to really think about ways that we can serve with our kids. And this is where we get to model with them what it looks like to serve. You know, I was thinking back when we had young ones and we were in our adult home group, and we just took our kids along with us with whatever we did, whether it's helping a friend move. Yeah, they can't really help that much, but that they were part of it. They could carry the little things and, you know, and they could see that they had a role to play. We did even like prayer meetings. Sometimes, you know, when we'd meet together for prayer, they get to play with other kids, but sometimes the other kids weren't there. And so sometimes they just had to sit quietly and see us pray, go through prayer meeting. We also had them, you know, help with, you know, making a meal together. Like here, somebody just had a baby. We can help serve this family by making a meal for them. Sometimes it was like, this family needs help with babysitting. We're going to have them over and we're going to watch their kids for them. And so just like, being able to serve with our kids is so important that they get to see that this is part of what we do as a family. Like I said, with playgroup, you know, you teach your kids how to share their toys and how to be a good, you know, host. I remember I was teaching my kids about, okay, so when we're a host, we let our guests decide what to watch, you know, if they want to watch a show. And so I remember going to a friend's house and my son's talking to the little kids, and he's like, I'm the guest. I get to choose. I'm like, okay, wait, not everybody has those rules. So, you know, like helping them understand, like, what does it look like to be a good host, a good guest, and likewise. And then as kids get older, we can serve with our kids as they get involved in, you know, sports teams, that we can be able to, you know, host, you know, year-end parties with them or do cookouts together with the kids, you know, or just thinking about like how we can be involved in, we tried to do like coaching when the kids were younger and just to get to know the teams and to get to know the families there and be able to like pray, is there anybody we can be able to invite to VBS or anyone we can invite to, you know, church with us? Also, we did other things that we did with our kids. We did VBS together for many years. You know, I got to serve with my kids in the different classrooms. And it's really cool because my son has been serving, doing VBS, and he's still, at 27 years old, he still comes back, you know, and loves to serve at VBS. He doesn't do it always for the whole week, but he'll come a couple days on his days off and stuff. So it's really cool to see how there's opportunities that these things, these habits that they start when they're younger can really continue going on. And it's just really cool, like when we think about how when we start teaching our kids that we want to serve others, we want to share with others, they come up with some really cool opportunities for us to be able to help somebody else out that maybe we don't see. And so, yeah, it's really cool the opportunities that God can give us with that. So I thought it might be good just to kind of give you a brief overview of like different state of like child stages and what kids can do. And if you want to know more, I found this really cool parenting website. It's parentingtoimpress.com. And she has ways in which people can serve or kids can serve by different specific ages. So she goes into a lot more detail than I will do here. But that's a cool website. So with thinking about toddlers, even toddlers can be serving. It's going to look very different. You know, they can go greet daddy. They can throw away their diaper. They can help set the table. You know, maybe you can just give them the spoons or the forks and say, hey, go put those forks on the table. Or, you know, they can throw away, you know, clean up. They can pick up their toys. They can help, you know, throw away all the dirty napkins after dinner or something like that. But then they can also pray for people. And that's really cool to see that, you know, sometimes kids are more faithful in praying than we are. And so, like, to be able to remind them that, you know, to see that, that's really important way to serve our friends and people. In elementary age, you know, they can make their lunch, they can help with laundry, they can set and clear the table, they can help with groceries, they can start writing notes, you know. That's a way to serve somebody, to write an encouraging note. My daughter Sydney is like a great encourager, and her notes are so amazing. Like some of her teachers have kept her notes over the years and stuff. And so you kind of just be able to see that there's different ways that people, they can use their giftings and their you know, burdens to be able to help others. But it's like cool to be able to see that these kids can help out. And I think a lot of times we're running around so frazzled and we're so crazy, but if we can think about trying to delegate some of our responsibilities and how our kids can play a role in that, that will help free us up from feeling like we're just doing everything ourselves. In junior high, you know, they can help prepare meals, they can do laundry, they can do yard work. We had our kids mowing the lawn. We did one year, instead of having VBS, the church encouraged us to do backyard Bible club. And so that was really a cool experience because we got together with a few other families in our neighborhood who go to our church, and we put together a Bible club at our nearby park. And it was neat because we had some of the kids did the arts and crafts, some of them did the snacks, some of them, like one of the kids even wrote a skit and they helped act in the skit. And it was just like really cool to be able to see us all working together and really being able to pray for people to invite and pray for the guests that came and be all excited about that. So that's a really cool thing that we got a chance to do. They can babysit. You know, we've had our kids, take the Red Cross babysitting thing certificate, but this is a great way that they can serve. And, you know, I know that we challenge our kids to babysit even for free, you know, and I think that's sometimes a lost art anymore. It seems like everyone's always wants to get paid for everything. But I think part of it is like, you know, some people need help and that not everybody's going to always be able to pay you. And that's okay. You can be able to do these things. As teenagers, you have a lot more, you can do a lot more things. You can make meals, treats. If you know my youngest daughter, Sophie, she loves to bake. And so she has, she usually bakes treats for people's birthdays and makes them feel special. I remember when we were hosting the men's cell group at our house, she would always bake something for them and they loved Sophie's cooking. It was like, oh, what did Sophie bake for us tonight? You know? And so, you know, it was a great way to be able to see that they have something to contribute. Giving rides is so important. Helping with that for the student ministries. They can volunteer in the community. I think my son did COSI, and there's a lot of great different organizations you can do, food pantry, and then also VBS and Oasis, they're always looking for volunteers. So it's a great way that people, thinking about just, kids can do a lot. And I think really when we think about, I was gonna say this earlier, one of the strengths of our church is that we do have so many great opportunities for people to serve and be able to work with other people, get to meet other people. It's a really great opportunity. Okay, so what are some barriers that keep us from helping our kids in their serving? I think one thing is just impatience. I know like from my own heart, you know, it's like, it's just easier for me to do it myself, right? And yet, especially in the beginning, you know, it does take a lot more work to help them learn how to unload the dishwasher or to load the dishwasher. And sometimes, you know, when they load the dishwasher, I have to redo it because it's so inefficient, you know? And yet, they're helping with loading the dishwasher. I should be grateful for that, you know? And so really seeing the importance of taking the time to do these things is, and to help them learn how to do this and that they can be contributors, you know? If we just think, oh, it's just easier for me to do it myself, then that's the, you know, attitude they're going to think, oh, mom can just do it, you know? And it's like they'll just rely on us doing it all the time and not really seeing that they have something to contribute to. I think another barrier is busyness. You know, we don't slow down enough to take the time to teach them how to be able to serve, or that we're so busy ourselves that we don't even see opportunities where they can serve or we can serve as a family. I know I was really struck, convicted by looking at Jesus's life and how when he was doing his ministry, he was willing to be interrupted. You know, I have my agenda for the day. I have my tunnel vision. You know, I can just get about things and I can just be so blind to anything that's going on around me. And so one of the things I've had to do is just slow down in the morning and pray for being open to opportunities and how I can serve people and how God can use me that day. Because realizing that, you know, I'm probably missing out on a lot of great opportunities and ways that God could use me and my family, but I just don't see it because I'm just so busy with my own agenda. Another barrier I think we can do is compartmentalizing. You know, like, I didn't know if you knew this, but April is volunteer month. So, you know, it's easy for people to think, oh, this is my service day. This is my service event, you know, and to kind of restrict it to a certain day or a certain time. And yet, really, this is a lifestyle that we're asking for, or God's calling us to live. And that, you know, that we need to be willing to serve whenever, whatever is needed. You know, you look at Christ's example when the Last Supper, and he gets up there with his guys and nobody's there to wash their feet. And so he's willing to get down on his knees, get dirty, and wash and take a very, you know, menial task and do that. And I think we need to teach our kids how to do this too, because there's not always, you know, of course, everybody wants to be a teacher, everyone wants to be a leader, but sometimes you need to be able to do the behind the scenes work. You need to be able to be willing to clean up afterwards. Who wants to do that, you know? And yet those things are really important too. And so service isn't just defined to a certain role and certain things that we do. And I think also realizing, like, maybe if you're from more traditional family, it's easy to think, oh, that's mom's job and this is dad's job, and you know, and yet to realize that, you know, after dinner we would all clean up together as a family, because that freed me up to be able to enjoy time after dinner with them. So it wasn't just mom having to be in the kitchen cleaning up or doing everything, is that we can all work together. And, you know, there's going to be certain seasons in life where, you know, maybe one of the kids' jobs they can't do because they're really busy. So what does it look like to come alongside and help them? Or what does it look like to, you know, being willing just to be flexible, to be willing to do different things to help one another out, and not just be so rigid and like, that's not my job, you know? And I heard that a lot when my kids were little. So, you know, we need to be willing to help each other out. And then I think one of the biggest barriers is just enabling. I think it's really easy for us to want to do things for our kids. You know, we all have, you know, that nurturing heart, and we want to serve our kids and help them. And yet, sometimes enabling, I love that term, when helping is hurting, it doesn't really help them. When we are doing things for them that they could be doing themselves, that's not really helpful to them. I remember teaching my kids how to do things. I'm like, someday your spouse is going to thank me. And because I remember living in a ministry house, and there was a girl who moved into our house. She was 18 years old, graduated from high school, and she had never done laundry her whole life. So she's like, I'm like, I can't believe you haven't, I'll teach you how to do it. So she comes downstairs with her pink basket, and she's like, okay, I'm ready. And so, you know, we go to the basement, I'm explaining to her they're different, you know, colors and the different temperatures and everything. And then I put the load size on large, and she's really upset at me. And she's like, Sherry, I can't believe you think I'm large. Medium maybe, but I'm not large. And she thought it was her actual clothes size and not the load size. And so, you know, we have a big laugh about that. But it was just like astounding to me how many kids never had to do their own, take care of their own responsibilities. They couldn't buy their own groceries. They couldn't, you know, deal with their own budget. And it was just like, their parents and their desire to help their kids had really enabled them, and were really actually not preparing them to be independent, capable human beings, you know, living on their own. And so I think that's one way that we can enable our kids. I think another way is learned helplessness. I don't know if you guys have read this, Manipulative Child, but there's this interesting thing that they talk about here. He says, if one believes that one can't do something, one won't try or will only make a half-hearted attempt, confirming one's belief about oneself. When we feel sorry for a child with these complaints and act on pity to help, we erode independence. If we continuously do this for a child over years, we will create a very dependent person. And so I think a lot of times, kids will just like be looking for the easiest way out. And they'll just say, I can't do that. I can't do that. And so one of my friends has tried to say, you know, I'm not going to help you unless you first try to do that. And to like, you know, see that they can do a lot more things than they think they can. And that it gives them confidence and like, wow, I did that. You know, yeah, maybe it took a few times. Maybe it took a while to learn how to do that. But eventually they were able to do that themselves. And so we can't buy into our kids' enabled helplessness and just say, I can't do that. But to really help them learn how they are capable and they can do those things. I think when we catch ourselves trying to do things for our kids, we have to kind of go back to why is this so important for me? And I think sometimes we have to look at what's going on in our heart. And I think it's easy to think we have this certain perspective of what a good parent is. I'm a good parent if I do these things. But, you know, to realize what are actually things that are helpful versus hurtful. And to realize that, you know, I think sometimes they're like, well, you're not helping me. You know, you're not a good mommy. And it's like, you know, we can tend to buy into that. And that's, again, where I think parenthood really challenges a lot about our identity. And so we have to keep going back to how God sees us and how we are trying to help our kids, and that they might not like it at first, but that this is going to really what's going to help them and as an adult. So the benefits, I think just the joy of service, that we get to be part of something bigger than ourselves. And it's really cool how, you know, God didn't need us, you know, and yet he's given us the privilege to be able to be, you know, he's given us gifts, he's given us his spirit, he's given us so many things to be able to do the work that he calls us to do. And it's like so incredible thinking about how, you know, our little efforts are God multiplies in incredible ways, and that, you know, a lot of times we don't even see the full benefits of how our day-to-day, you know, service is really making impact. But people are watching, you know, and people see the way that we live our lives. And so we get the joy of being able to be a part of that. Also, just that there's tons of mental, physical, and spiritual benefits for that in terms of your health. Mental health, you know, there's all kinds of studies that talk about that. We'll look at a couple of those. The physical health of encouraging, you know, people to be involved in serving. And then spiritually, it's good for us mentally to be able to think about others. I just have a couple of things here. So Deborah Spade wrote this book, Teaching Your Kids to Care: How to Discover and Develop the Spirit of Charity in Your Children. She goes, kids can only go on for so long feeling such painful empathy without any opportunity to do anything about it before they begin to tell themselves to stop feeling anything at all. She suggests pointing them towards altruism, before they become hardened, because serving others helps kids discover their talents, hone their skills, and begin to believe in themselves. And so, you know, I think I feel like it helps our kids to understand, you know, things that they enjoy doing. Like my son, with just working in Oasis and serving with kids, now he's a nurse at Children's Hospital. You know, it's like kind of cool to see how God has kind of developed that with him and showing him what he can be doing. I know this is really hard. I try to figure out how to do this, but Ellen Lux and this other woman wrote this book called The Healing Power of Doing Good. And in this, they've been doing these studies for national research for a long time, but they said stress-related health problems improve after performing kind acts. Helping others reverses feelings of depression, supplies social contact, reduces feelings of hostility and isolation that can cause stress, overeating, and ulcers. There's like 11 reasons that he says. He says a sense of self-worth, greater happiness and optimism is increased, and feelings of helplessness and depression decrease. Serving can also have attitudes such as chronic hostility that negatively arouses and damages bodies are reduced. And then lastly, he said regular club attendance, volunteering, entertaining, or faith group attendance is the happiness equivalent of getting a college degree, of more than doubling your income. I thought that was really interesting statistic. But I think, you know, sometimes I think as parents, we think, oh, we just want our kids to have a good job, to make a lot of money. But I know a lot of people who make a lot of money who are miserable and that they are not any happier. They're anxious. They're, you know, that is not the real kind of, I mean, God knew what he meant when he said that it's greater, better to give than to receive. I found this article on from the National Alliance of Mental Health about the benefits of volunteering. One of it is reduces stress, it counteracts the effects of stress, anger, and anxiety, increases happiness, it develops confidence, and it helps people find their purpose. And so, you know, there's no question about that it is good for us mentally and physically, and that we know spiritually. Oh, okay. So in summary, I think, you know, we can see that Christ really does know what he's talking about when he tells us it's more blessed to give than receive, that he, I mean, all the outside studies back that up. And then just that it is a process of becoming who we are in Christ. We've never fully arrived in being a servant. I feel like I'm still learning what it looks like to serve. We lead with Doug and Chris Patch, and I think they're great examples of servants and being willing to do anything and being able to help out. And so that there's always examples around us in which we can be learning how to serve. And then also just knowing that each family is unique. You know, what it looks like to serve for our family is going to look different from this family. And I think, you know, we can't compare ourselves and put ourselves down, but just to like work with our spouse and say, what does it look like for us? What does it look like for us in this stage of life? It's all, you know, it's each stage is so different, but that we really need to, you know, think about how we can be creating this lifestyle of serving other people. All right, well, let's pray. God, this is a lot, and yet it is really rewarding to be a part of something bigger that you are doing here. And so we do really pray that you would help each of these families to know how to apply these things to their life and to their families. Thank you that you give us important roles to do, God, and that we can be able to have an eternal impact for you by the way that we raise our kids and that the ripple effect of just all that you're going to do through us, God. And we do thank you so much for your grace that we fail to serve every day and yet you are gracious with us and that you want to teach us what it looks like to serve. Amen.